Hello, Deha. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's start.
Hey, beloveds. Before we start today, I wanted to touch base and update you a little bit about some changes that you may be seeing. I have decided to incorporate all the offerings that I have under one umbrella of Tauranga Wellness. Up until this point, I've been operating Māori healing and training and counselling and supervision in different pockets, and I've been increasingly feeling the desire and the urge to merge them and to share in one location with Tauranga Wellness. To me, feels like such a beautiful name for a healing and counselling practice. Tauranga means to have a new view, a different view, a growing perspective, and that feels really fitting for the work that takes place in healing, the work that takes place in counselling, kōrero miri, talk therapy, and the ability to merge all of them together feels like a new perspective for me and a new energetic. So this will be a gradual process. I gave myself permission to not have it all ready to make the changes. So I've moved my Instagram to Tauranga Flourish, and both the podcast things and the counselling and Māori healing will go there. So while I find my voice with all the different sides of my practice as they merge together, as all the different sides of my practice merge together, please bear with that process. It's feeling very aligned so far for me. Yeah, I realise that some people may have followed different parts of my journey. I want to honour all that support through all the iterations. I felt supported from the moment I launched my first women's circle and began coaching back in 2014, 15. It's always been an honour that people have allowed me to evolve, and for Wonderkind to evolve, and now for Tauranga Wellness to evolve. This won't be the first change. This won't be the last evolution. These things are part of who I am, my value system, to stay aligned to what the energetics of the world are asking me to embody. So one of the things that feels new-ish for me, yet occurs a lot behind the scenes in a ko'oho oha ki oriori, in supervision calls, in the work that I do, conversations that I'm having regularly with people, is to open the questions and open the conversation around different ways to enter business and your life. And that is really supporting both the trainees, but other nourished, short-hearted businesses to business in a different way. I know that those who weave with the training and so many people who join Ako Oha Oha have a different desire for life. I just want to share more about the behind the scenes and some of those aspects in case it serves others who are wanting to step into sharing their heart call. I feel like our work is a huge part of how we learn to flourish in this world, and a really huge part of our well-being, more than we sometimes give it credit in the spiritual community. And so that also leads to this podcast today. I will record this podcast initially as a resource for Ako Oha Oha and for the Ako Toro Whanui trainees to receive confidence, tips and hints around starting to explore with hiring others to support them in their business. It's aimed particularly at sole trader businesses, counsellors, healers, and those sorts of things. It can be a really daunting process, and it can be a big step. This podcast is with Nicola Hanna. Nicola has been a IT consultant slash supporter. She actually started as a VA for me, and her wisdom, knowledge, and our relationship is one that's really valuable to me. Our connection has gone through many iterations.
Nicola and I have worked together for a number of years. I really value her contributions to everything I share. I honestly would not have half of the capabilities technically that I do without her support.
So we've moved homes, we've moved businesses, we've moved platforms, and the process as a whole keeps inspiring, keeps uplifting, and keeps nourishing.
There's a lot of hats we wear when we do step into sharing healing or counseling, and finding people to collaborate with you can be a big step. So bowing down to Nicola and all those who support behind the scenes, honestly, support is invaluable, and sometimes there's no way to truly acknowledge that. Hope you enjoy this episode. Hello everyone, welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast. And today we are talking to Nicola Hannah. And Nicola started out as a BA for me, and now we don't know what she is. She's my tech goddess is what I call her. She basically looks after everything tech behind the scenes. She helped me when I accidentally deleted the student platform, or when it's only mistakes I've made that she's fixing. But pretty much everything pretty that you see on the website came from Nicola. So I'm so grateful. Honestly, I don't think I would have been able to do half the things I've done without you. So welcome, Nicola.
Hi, and you're welcome, I guess.
So we've been working together since 2019, and I thought it would be cool to share some of the things that we've discovered along the way. I don't know what they are or what will come out of our mouths, but we'll see. So today I asked Nicola to have a talk with us because we've been with training trainees through Ako Toro Whanui, but also going through Ako Oha Oha, which is the Flourishing Practitioners in Business and Money course. One of the questions or ponderings that often comes up, and I hear as well in business circles, is about when we are hiring someone and working with someone and all the sorts of questions that come with that. And I know from talking to different people that the concerns, they vary.
If you want to start from the beginning of how do you get into a VA relationship or IT consultant or any other kind of virtual assistant, you want to start from a position of actually having a contract. And it seems really basic, but when we're in such small businesses, it's easy to forget that that's an important basis for your trust. And it's that the part where you really define how you want to work together. And I've had situations where that I didn't have that, that it didn't go well because we didn't have that foundation and it was really bad, actually. So yeah, you start from having a contract, being clear about how that's going to work. What are the payment terms? How often are you doing that? And it doesn't have to be set in stone. Contract doesn't mean it's set in stone. It means that you know what it's going to be. And then you can redefine it when you need to.
I really agree. And we've definitely had various conversations over the time around contract and changes and things that are happening. And I really value that occasionally. Mm. I even use contracts when people are doing, not pro bono isn't the word, but when they're doing like work experiencing or an exchange type thing, I use a contract as well, because for me, it's also dealing with personal information like my IP and client stuff sometimes if they need to.
Answering those very basic questions of, all right, who owns what? What's everybody's liability? What are the responsibilities? And you just have those written down, and then that's that done. And then you don't have to worry about it so much. I guess from there, it's just about how do you communicate your tasks, your projects, what are you doing, those kind of, you know, what is the actual work?
Can we go back a step before that? Because something that came up in our training was how do you even find someone or the right person?
Right, yeah.
And I can answer how I've done it in different times. But yeah, yes. But for you, how do you see that?
How do I see that? I don't know, because this is a part where I actually am not sure, because I've never hired somebody. I am the one who does the work.
I'll say for us, someone who had worked with you before recommended you to me, and I reached out and I made a few inquiries at the time. I've had other different people doing different things, but at the time I made inquiries to a number of different people, and your style and way of responding to me vibes the most. And in my head, you don't know this, I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but in my head, my decision-making process was like, you were similar enough to me and you were Kiwi. So that helped because my business is Māori-based healing. So you knew enough about the cultural aspects that I didn't have to educate. So that really helped. But you had different skill set than me. So that was good. Whereas I've had other people work for me or VAs at different times and our skill sets are similar. So that, not that that doesn't work, but I need help in things that I'm not good at.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, definitely that's probably the thing that I do think the most about when you have an assistant, you are looking for somebody who has the skills that you don't have or that you are weak in. It comes down to when you are looking to hire someone, you do it at the point where you're like, I am struggling with this thing so much. To move forward, you need a person to do it for you. When you need to hire someone, it's when you get to the point where you're like, I cannot move forward because this thing is not within my skill set.
I'm just going to talk from the business owner perspective or if I'm thinking about the trainees. I don't think we always know that point as business owners. Well, I'm talking for myself, but I also hear this from other people who go through training with me that we have loads of ideas and we can't implement them by ourselves. We know that. But we don't know what we can learn. We don't know what is best to outsource. We're not sure. I guess what I'm trying to say and what I valued from you as well is that we seem to fall into a space of figuring it out, which was good. And I guess that's what I've found, that flexibility with how we work and not needing it to be one certain way has been really valuable to me as a small business owner.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the way I would try to think about how do you know if it's time to hire someone? For me, I guess it's when I feel like I am blocked. And in many ways, it's like a physical or emotional. I don't know how to get started. I don't know what to do. I've got this idea. I want to do it. I've done some parts. I don't know how to go forward. That's when you're like, okay, I need to hire someone. I need to even just talk to somebody about what is it that needs to happen next. So yeah, I guess getting back to the point of how did you find me? Yeah, you talked to a bunch of different people. Pretty much almost 100% of the clients that I've had have come through referrals from various people. And that is a fantastic way. So it's definitely one of those reach out to the people you know who are also doing similar kind of businesses. And this is something that I actually did write down in the notes that I thought about this morning. Okay. See if they know anybody. And then you definitely want to find someone who is going to fit with your style of working. If you're the kind of person who wants to build and build quickly and grow and be all about growth, then you're going to need a VA who is right there with you 100% of the time, right? As opposed to if you're a bit more, I guess, not exactly slow, but slower, intuitive, and feeling your way through the growth that you want to have, then you're going to need somebody who is there to go on that journey with you, as opposed to the full steam ahead, perhaps slightly capitalist growth.
Yeah, I call it the bromance business.
Yeah.
It's the bromance way. Go hardcore.
Yeah, that's not my style of working. It's not how I run my business. The kind of people that I work best with are the kind of people that have the same kind of style as me. That's, I think, a really important point, because otherwise you get to this position where you have hired somebody who is probably quite good at what they do. Ultimately, you're going to have this mismatch in your projects where you're trying to work to different purposes. So I guess you need to be clear on what your sort of business style is.
I guess I just want to say, in terms of my experiences when I started hiring people or contracting people, and to give myself permission to not know and figure it out, because I had in my head, I guess, more of the experience of coming from corporate type thing, and that's not what suits me best in my business, that corporate mindset.
Yeah, and obviously you're not going to know all of these things necessarily straight away. So then it's also, it's totally okay to fire someone for a small project and see how it goes. You're not committing to years long business relationship if you don't want to, if you don't have to, right? We've worked together for this long because it's worked, right?
But yeah, I agree. I think that style thing helps me. And when we do need to have a week where it's quite attention, we'll plan that and be really there, which I like. That suits me as well, because I know I feel supported. Another thing that I often get asked about is, like, how do you trust people? You have access to a lot of my business stuff and pretty much everything I have to, but because that's easier for me and us. But yeah, what are some thoughts on that for people for the first time who may be turning over their websites, their payment systems, their bank accounts, whatever? That
it depends on what you're firing for. This is, I guess, another situation where having a bit of a trial period is probably a good thing. Start with a smaller project or just one aspect of your business. So I think you are only turning over the administrative passwords for a small portion of what you're doing. Then you can see if you work together well, if you feel like this person is going to do the right thing. I've worked in IT for about 10 years now, and I have never actually met an IT person that I didn't find trustworthy. It's kind of a point of an ethical code. It's a point of pride in the industry that we are the people that have to have the most trust. And you don't break it, because the consequences of you doing that are that you can never work in IT again. Because if you break it even once, then you are not trustworthy and people will not be able to trust you ever again. This is the kind of thing that can open you up to some serious legal consequences. The things that we could do are very non-trivial. So that's really what it comes down to. Like, if you're hiring a IT consultant, I guess always go with your gut. Do the normal things that you look for to see if they have poor reviews. If they have no reviews, I wouldn't consider that to be a problem. It just means that nobody's been irritated with them, basically. So that's a good thing. And that's pretty normal, to be honest. I think if there's nobody's saying anything about people, and that's generally a good thing. There's a joke in IT that corporate bosses tend to be confused as to what IT is for. You know, when things are going well, it doesn't look like we're doing anything. And when things are going wrong, then they think that you're not worth anything. But the reality is, when things are going well, it's because we're making sure it's going well. And when things go wrong, we're there fixing it. And so in both cases, you need us there. So we don't really get positive reviews. We get no reviews or really bad ones. It just also comes down to the contract, making sure that you know what responsibility and what liability you both have. And if, God forbid, that it actually did go very wrong, then there are obviously pretty serious legal things that you can do. But the chances are that's not going to happen, because the loss of career is serious.
I found the benefit for me of people taking care of things that I find challenging outweighs. Another thing that has come up a lot when we're having this discussion has been around training people to work for you or onboarding them. And I guess what I always have in my mind is that that will take a while. From my perspective, we can't have expectations that that will be a quick thing, because someone needs to understand how you work, your business. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're right. I think it will depend a little bit on the level of person you're hiring. If you're hiring somebody who's very new then they will probably take a little bit longer to work things out. I would hope that if you're hiring a consultant level IT person, that they can hit the ground running as soon as you've gone through the basic project planning stages, right? And that's not really a training situation. It's a defining the project, which you have to do regardless. Regardless of how trained the person is. So yeah, it is going to depend on the knowledge and experience of the person that you're hiring is how long that training will take. And so to some extent, especially if you are hiring a tech person, they're going to have their own process of asking the right questions to understand your business. And that is something that I like to do, is to go through and go, okay, I've got a new client. I'm going, all right, what is your email systems? What are your marketing systems? What's your website like? What do you do for scheduling? How do you do your calendar? How do you do all of these things? And how well integrated are they? What is your process so that I can understand what it is I need to do and need to work on? Hiring somebody at a slightly higher level, they'll probably have a set of questions, things that they want to know so they understand where they fit into the process, as opposed to a person who's very much just a virtual assistant. In that case, you're likely to have to teach them more.
I can't remember who was saying it, but I heard something on a podcast and it wasn't so much about role, but it was about personality. There's people who either want to receive direction, or there's people who will be open and curious and asking questions. And I think you can have that in any space. That seems to work better for me when people are like, when I don't have, because I've found I want to focus on what I do as a business. So if I have to then think about managing rather than someone doing like complementing, it's quite challenging for me. So
for sure,
that's something that I don't know we can always know in the early phases, which is why your suggestion about seeing how it goes is good, because my experience, and I'm thinking more on the VA spectrum now, and even for myself doing consulting for others, we don't always know ourselves. Like when I was younger, right, I could go, oh yeah, I'll do all this thing and I didn't mind. Whereas like now I'm not as good at that because I've specialized. I haven't always known myself as a person contracting to someone else. And then I've found that with people contracting to me as well, that sometimes they don't actually know their style, even though I'm trying to test for it, you know, in the discussions and the contract process and things like that.
So I guess the thing that I would look for is, are they asking questions about your processes? Are they asking questions, or are they waiting to be told what to be done?
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
That's probably the biggest clue.
I love that. I'm just now reflecting in process with you, but I didn't know that distinction when I started having people contract to me.
No, it's not obvious. It's not obvious. And I guess unless you say it out loud, it's not something that you necessarily think about. But I think it's something that I've noticed over my career, is the difference between somebody who is going to be a bit more of a, no one uses, the word that comes to mind is self-starter, but I don't really like that because it implies that the opposite is wrong when it's not really, they're just different styles. But it's the difference between somebody who is self-directed versus somebody who will require managing. And yeah, I think we've covered that those are both equally valid, but it just depends on what you need at that point.
When we start hiring, so if you're the me in the situation, the business owner, and you're hiring, we think our work's so precious and can hold it really tight. So even though we actually want more of a self-directed, that's what we want, we can't let go. So we're actually creating, we're creating a manager relationship, even though that's not what serves us best.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other problem. Can you let it go?
Well, someone thinking for the first time about contracting someone or hiring someone, what are some of the, and it's more of that distance relationship or a VA or IT specialist type relationship, what systems would you suggest may help them to manage or project, communicate? They don't have to be the ones we're using.
No, they don't. No. Yeah, you have to have some kind of project management system that you can both access and edit, right? That's the basis. So that can be Asana, or it can be Jira, or it can be, I don't know, literally any of the other available online project management tools. They all work. I've seen Monday.com. That one's pretty good too. There's so many. And so if you've already got one of those tools, all good. You just use that and invite your new contractor to use it. They might have one that they use all the time as well, if you don't already have one. And that would be a sign to me that they were pretty well self-directed. The next thing is that you need to use it consistently. Right? There's no point in having your project management tool without actually using it.
I feel like I use it just to get the unicorn to go across the page.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Isn't that kind of the point of any to-do list app? Really is to get it to do whatever little celebratory thing it does when you complete a task. You have to use it consistently and use it as your main source of your daily tasks and the tasks that you're doing with your contractor, whatever it is that you're doing. And then it, from there out, having regular communication via whatever messaging app, via email, and also having your regularly scheduled calls. And all of those things means that you have a limited number of places that where you're exchanging information, exchanging ideas and tasks, while also having it all in a way that you have the flexibility of you just thinking about something, so you can just send a small message, or you've got something slightly more important, then you might want to put that in an email. Or if it's just part of your regular tasks management, then that's going in your project management tool. And updates to those tasks, whether you've been like, oh, let me just add some more details, or this is more important, so we bump up the priority, or we actually know it's less important than this other thing, so now we change the priority. It's all of those things become part of things that you can do on a, maybe not necessarily daily, but definitely weekly basis, so that you're keeping contact with the person you're working with.
Something I found really hard and I still do is prioritizing. And you're laughing because it's so true. That was something that you helped me with a lot. Hey, Gabrielle, you've got to put the priority in, because I think everything's important. In the moment, I'm like, everything needs to be done for me to complete this. And I think I've gotten a bit better. But I really thank you for that, for help you do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
I think that point that you just said was really good, because I used to think if I put a priority that we were committed to that, like, okay, that's now the priority. But being able to change that when I get more of a picture and I'm like, actually, I thought that was a priority, but now that it's playing out, it can take a step back. So
yeah,
for anyone else that's a bit like me and doesn't know how to prioritize, I just thought.
Look, it's a skill. It's a skill that you have to learn over time. And the reason I've learned it is because I'm on the receiving end of, you know, working in IT. People keep giving me tasks, and they give me more tasks than can possibly happen before the end of the day. So it's like, okay, we've got to prioritize. It's not possible for it all to be done per day. So what do you want to happen first? You know? And it very much forces you to go, okay, we've got to figure out a way of deciding how to do this. And sometimes, like, the very easiest system for this sort of task prioritization is just first in, first out. So the first thing that comes up is the first thing you complete, and that's it. So it's just chronological. That's not always ideal, but it's the most basic.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking back to when I start. I think part of my issue is that when I'm first getting someone on board, I'm at point where it is all priority, because I'm overloaded. I'm just like, I need it off my plate. So instead of actually sitting back and going, okay, genuinely, what's the priority? But then I've found that over time, having someone consistently working, it does become more obvious. But maybe for those who are hiring, first off, have a think about that. Like, you're overwhelmed, you do need help. You've taken this amazing step of deciding to help. Consider like little bite piece. Don't shove all of the grapes in the person's mouth. Give them a few grapes to synthesize.
Yeah. I mean, this is another reason why you should absolutely have a project management tool, even if you haven't hired anybody. It's because it becomes this place to reorganize your ideas yourself. You write it all down and then go, okay, what needs to happen first? What is the most important thing? What gets me where I want to be the quickest, or is the most important, or urgent, or all of these things? And sometimes with projects, you have things that are dependent on one another. So like this task has to happen first because other things literally cannot happen until you've done that other one. And sometimes that's not obvious until you've got it all written down. And yeah, so big proponent of writing stuff down.
Say this is all sort of flowing, but something's changed and you need to have a challenging conversation. How do you find those sorts of conversations, or what would you say to someone? Because in my sphere, some people find those sorts of discussions about rage, yeah, or discussions about changes, that something that was going one way or whatever it is. Some thoughts on that?
It's one of those things that gets easier the more trust you have built up, right? So it's always going to be a little bit difficult to begin with. But the longer you've worked with somebody and the more that you know their situation, the easier it can get. I don't know that that's true for everybody. But from my perspective, I'm in a position, quite a lucky position, where this is not all that I do now for my living. It's not the only thing I do. And so it gives me the ability to be happy to help in whatever way is possible. It would be, I guess, more problematic. But even when this was the only thing that I did, I always want to go in with the understanding that we're going to work together for some time, but not like the rest of our lives, because that's a real long time, you know? So at some point, logically, that
what,
has to
Nicola?
Be... But logically there has to be some kind of end at some point, right? It's probably not going to be my death. It's probably not going to be your death either. Part of being in business, I think, is thinking about how do relationships end. And I don't know that everybody else thinks about this, but I think about it. It's basically starting a business relationship can be difficult, but if you do the contract thing and make sure that you've got your terms sorted out and you know how that's going to work, you should also think about then what is the situations where the business relationship ends. And you want to try and figure out ways for that to end amicably. And so whenever you have to go through a change, maybe it's, oh, you have done a bunch of big projects, but now we're in a position where we're good for now and we don't need to do so much work, you can go, okay, is the relationship done, or are we just putting it on hold for a couple of months until the next big thing comes? You know, and maybe that's it. That's a kind of amicable, we're having a conversation. Do you need to stop completely, or can we just put it on hold for now? Whether you can have those kinds of conversations is going to really depend on whether you found the right person for you.
Yeah. And setting it up at the beginning, like clarifying the trial piece, mm-hmm, and then the here's how it will go, like sort of outlining it, like that, yeah, will touch base at these points. And then as it, yeah, evolves, it will evolve.
Exactly. It starts from the beginning of where we're defining what this relationship is now. And then we will check in again every, I don't know, couple of months or every year, or depending what your business is like. But
yeah. Yeah. Our relationships changed a lot over the time. Like,
oh,
and we've changed homes and lives and all sorts of, yeah, countries.
Yes,
culture. So, those things will change what's required as well.
So how do we set that up so that we can have those conversations and have them be easier? It starts from that beginning of having had a contract and also saying we're going to review this again in 3 months or 6 months or a year. And from there, that's how it really becomes easier, because you're both on the same page of knowing that it will be reviewed.
I love that. And then this is a little bit of a vulnerable question, but what could I do to be a better person for you?
A better person for me.
And it's not a bad thing, but yeah, what things could I improve on in our relationship?
I don't have any problems. I always have enjoyed the way that you communicate everything that you're doing and that you need. I have no notes. I'm sorry. There's nothing that you could do to be better.
Oh, thank you. I've really appreciated that. And when you're frustrated with me, that you tell me. Like, if there's something, like, with that, it was mainly around, like, little, that's not like you're frustrated, like, bad, that's a bad thing. But when you're, like, you've got to prioritize, Gabrielle, sorts of things, I've really appreciated that have let me know what you need. And that's been really good. And you've also said, so on the other side, you're the one telling me you need to set this up to be more secure. Like, you're the one saying, no, you have to have the authentications, Gabrielle.
Yeah.
So you do make those suggestions.
Yeah. It is one of those things that I have noted at multiple clients, is that quite often people don't set up the security systems that they need, and you just have to have them. It's necessary.
Thank you. Yeah, we're coming to the end. Thank you so much. I think that's really useful. Is there anything else you can think that you would want to share with anyone who is wanting to, or anything at all? It doesn't have to be related.
I guess just keep an eye on those gut feelings about whether you feel like you're able to do your projects yourself. Keep an eye on those, that sort of, how do you feel about the work that you're doing? Because if it starts to feel like you're procrastinating and it's difficult, it could be that you're doing something you don't really want to, but it could also be that actually you just need somebody to do it for you. I think that's really trusting those feelings and identifying when that is holding you up.
Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you've done. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.